We need to be careful. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We know where to lay aside the sin, right? Nobody's questioning that. But what the enemy or the word of the Lord is not telling us just to lay aside the sin that hurts us. It's saying to lay aside the weights that hurts us. And a weight is simply that thing that hinders us from being sensitive to the presence of the Lord. So, well, it's not wrong. Social media is not wrong. It's not wrong, but has it become a weight? Has it become a weight that has caused us to not be sensitive to the presence of the Lord? And if it has, or if we have, will you understand? We got to be willing to lay it aside. Lay it aside. I'm almost convinced, and I understand what's going on in the room right now, but I am almost convinced that the church world is at a place that fasting social media has greater spiritual impact on a church family than fasting food does. Because there are some who, if given the choice, are so consumed with those things that they would prefer to fast food. If I got to choose to fast one of them, I'd rather fast food than social media. I'm almost convinced that it has greater ramifications, and we might even do it. So then our text tells us we need to be not only sober, but we also need to be vigilant. Somebody say vigilant. Means to be awake, to be watchful. To be aware. Everybody with me today? It's telling us that we need to recognize the fact that Satan is out to destroy us. He's not out to play games. He's not out to play nice. He is out to destroy our lives and everything that is beautiful in our lives. And it's saying you need to be vigilant. You need to be aware of his tactics. You need to know clearly what to do. And now we're turning the corner to where I want to kind of as we begin to slowly wrap up here. You need to understand clearly what to do in response to the attack of the enemy. When you have a lion encounter, you need to know what to do in order to be successful. Jesus would say it another place like this, Matthew 10 and 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents." While warring against the adversary of our soul, Jesus tells us to be wise as a serpent. For you see, snakes in the wild are very sharp-sighted. They're a very cunning creature. And they use various strategies and tactics for their own preservation. And Jesus is telling us that we need to understand the strategies necessary to escape hell's intentions and to not fall into Satan's enticements. We need to know the strategies and what to do when we encounter the lion. Galatians 5 and 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We got to know what we're to do in order to not entangle ourselves again with what we've already been delivered from. Somebody said amen. So we got to have spiritual strategy and spiritual understanding for what to do when we face the roaring lion. What do we do when we have a lion encounter? And it is this first part of this strategy that I'd like to help someone with today. I quickly will feel to speak on two specific strategies this Sunday, and Lord willing, we'll deal with the remaining two next Sunday. The impetus for this message that we're preaching now was birthed when I heard the instructions that an African safari guide gave their clients in case they ever have a lion encounter. The first thing the safari guide instructs them to do, if you're ever out, if we're on this walking safari and you encounter a lion, here's the first thing you do. Make sure you do not make any sudden movements. Don't make any sudden movements. I gotta preach quick. Because it is sudden movements that put an individual in a position to trigger the attack of the lion. And how many know the same is true in our spiritual lives as well? For many times, it is our quick and hasty decisions and quick and hasty actions that open the door for the enemy to attack us. I know I'm just teaching today, but I'm teaching good. Because when we act quickly in the decisions that determine our lives and our families and our futures and our relationships, then we cannot be for sure that our decisions are what God wanted them to be. I'm helping you now. You see, most quick decisions are based, and I feel so strongly because this past Thursday we dealt with this very same thing, and the Lord has brought me right back to it to deal with it again today. I feel like there's somebody in the house that's on the verge of making a very bad decision, and God's trying to talk to you and help you before you make it. Because most decisions, quick decisions that we make are based upon the fact that our flesh feels like it's the right thing to do. Our feelings tell us it is the right course of action to take. But as we discussed this past Thursday many times, how many know our flesh will get us in trouble every time? Our feelings, most of the time, are in exact opposition to what God would determine for us to do. Am I right about it? The Bible would be very plain in speaking and warning against hasty decisions. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent, you're diligent about your decision, tend only to plenteousness. If you're diligent about it, you take your time and you find the mind of God, it will lead you to a life of plenty. But of everyone that is hasty, that is only going to bring them to a place of want, need. I mean, it doesn't get any more plain than that. If you're going to be diligent about your decision, not quick, not hasty, it'll lead you to a place of plenty because God will order your steps and you will allow him the opportunity to do so. But when you take a hasty decision, it's more than likely going to bring you to a place where you are lacking and where you are in want. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." There's more hope for a fool than this individual that is hasty with his words. We're going to do this, word, talk, speak, hasty. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2, "Be not rash with thy mouth, be not quick, be not hasty with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." This is what I'm going to do. This is what it's going to go. This is the direction I'm going to take. This is how I'm going to live. This is what we're going to, whatever. Don't be hasty to utter those things before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. So let your words be few. Oh, come on, somebody. What that's saying is this. He's up here. You're down here. Who do you think can see better? Who do you think has a better vantage point of your future, you or God? So he said, you need to stop being so hasty with your mouth, and you need to stop being so hasty with your actions. In fact, you just need to keep your mouth shut and understand you are high and lifted up, and you can see what I can't see. So I'm going to step back and trust you. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and what the best route for my life is going to be, because I can't see around the first corner. But you sit high and you look low and you work from the end all the way back to the beginning. And if I'll just trust you, I'll know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I'll trust the process. I'll trust it even if it doesn't go as quick as I want it to go. Even if it's not happening as quickly as I want it to happen, I'm going to trust that God knows better than what I know. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. You may be seated. Let me prove this to you from Scripture. Is this all right today? Everybody good? I don't have anything more important to do today. Now I want to be aware of the time, but I do also want to be obedient to the word of the Lord. Let me show you this quickly. Joseph is engaged to be married to Mary. And all of a sudden Mary comes up pregnant. Joseph, I'm pregnant. And it is of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know the story, right? I mean, it's of the Holy Ghost. Put yourself in the moment. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Sure. Nobody would have blamed Joseph if he would have immediately divorced her. I mean, come on. I mean, that's an open and shut case. That's black and white. He could have immediately made a decision to have divorced her, and nobody would have said nothing. Nobody would have thought him to be wrong. If he immediately told everybody what she had done and separated himself from her, everybody would have said, "You did the right thing." Of the Holy Ghost, whatever. You did the right, Joseph, man, you dodged a bullet there. Can you imagine what the rest of your life would have been like, Joseph? How many other guys would she have been with when you were married? Man, Joseph, you did the right thing. Whew. God's got somebody for you, Joseph. He spared you from that one, Joseph. In fact, this is the first thing that did come to Joseph's mind. Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded or had made up his mind pretty much to put her away privately. This was his first reaction. Okay, we're going to get a divorce. To put her away privately just simply means that if you divorced, in that time, if you divorced, gave divorce papers in public, then the penalty for what she did would have been death. They would have stoned her for adultery. But when it says that he would put her away privately, it would just be a very private thing that would happen and nobody would know about it, and so her life would be spared. And so, be that what it may, he still had kind of made the decision that this is probably what I should do. This is probably what's best for me, for my life, and for my future. But how many know that would have been a decision based upon what his flesh thought was right instead of what God said was right? But I want you to notice what Joseph does in that period of questioning. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But while he, what? While he thought on these things. Yeah, I know I could do that. I know that's what feels right in my flesh. I know everybody would support it, but you know what? Let me just keep thinking about it. Let me just keep thinking about it a little bit. Let me keep praying about it a little bit. Let me just keep talking to the Lord about it a little bit. I don't want to make a hasty decision. And while he put himself in a position to continue to think about these things, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she's going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He would have missed all of that. He would have missed all of that. A front row seat to the incarnation of God Almighty in human form. He would have missed it if he had not thought about the decision. Come on, Jesus. If he would have been hasty, he would have missed himself in the prophetic prophecy from before time even began. And he would have missed it all. And so the mindset that God is wanting each and every one of us to have when it comes to these moments in our lives when we are encountering some sort of opposition, encountering a lion, because the truth is this, if we just react to every thought and every feeling without properly judging where that thought and feeling has come from, then more than likely the action we're going to take and the decisions we're going to make is going to be exactly what hell wants us to do. Come on, Jesus. Amen. Stay with me today, all right? Stay with me. I'm hurrying, but stay with me. If we just make quick decisions, more than likely we're making a decision that had been set up in hopes of hell that that's the decision we make. But I just felt like this was the right thing to do. Felt, feelings. I just felt like this was the right thing to do. I just feel like this is the best thing for me and my family. This is what I think is the right course of action to take. But look at what the Bible instructs us to do. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Lean upon him, acknowledge him, have a view of him in regards to your decision. What does God, okay, I got this opportunity. What does God think about it? How does God feel about it? Because it's not about what I think and it's not about what I feel. I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways. So God, what do you think about this decision? And until I hear from you, I'm not doing nothing. Until I hear a word from you, I'm staying at the last place I know you told me to be. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, me, like a ton. The Lord says, he didn't say if you lack wisdom, good luck, figure it out. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth wisdom to all men liberally. And he's not going to get on to you for asking. And it shall be given to him. Do you see this? This is very plain. The word of the Lord is trying to help all of us. Yes, we don't always know what to do. But the Lord said, listen, you don't have to know what to do. I will tell you what to do. Well, I just don't have wisdom for the direction for my life. I know you don't. So ask me for wisdom and I will give you godly wisdom. I'll tell you what to do. You just ask me for it. But if you do something too quick, then it's probably going to be based on what you feel and not what I feel. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I don't have time to talk about it. We talk about it all the time. We've got multiple spiritual individuals in this church that can help you make a decision that'll be based upon the word of the Lord. If you do a decision by yourself, it's probably many times could be the wrong thing. But if you say, hey, sister so-and-so, what do you think about this? Brother, son, don't go ask some carnal guy. We've talked about this. Find the spiritual people. Find the godly counselors. Find the spiritual authorities. And say, here's what I'm thinking, but I don't know. What do you think about this? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But you also have to be willing to be submitted to the counsel. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Somebody say everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You don't have to be anxious about the decision. You don't have to be anxious about the direction. If you just need with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, bring it to the Lord. Ask him what to do. I'm not going to make a quick decision. I'm not going to make a hasty decision. I'm going to bring it to you. I'm not going to be anxious about it. I'm not going to be fearful about it. I'm going to bring it to you. And when we bring it to him, the Bible promises us that he'll put us in a path and we're going to feel a peace. That yes, maybe it does involve change, but when we change, we're going to feel a peace about the change because we're going to know it wasn't my decision to be here. It was God's decision for me to be here. And even though it's different, I have peace. Somebody said amen. Don't make any sudden movements when encountering a lion. Second, and this is not going to take too long. The safari guide instructed when encountering a lion, never, stay with me just a few more minutes, never under any circumstances leave the group. No matter how you feel, stay with the group. No matter the fact that you may just want to run away, you got to stay with the group. Is there anybody in the house who's mighty thankful of the fact that you've stayed with the church? Even in that moment when you felt like giving up, is there anybody grateful that you stayed connected to the church? Even when you were going through the darkest days of your life, is there anybody glad that you made up your mind? I'm going to grab a hold of the body of Christ even when I don't know what my tomorrow is going to look like. Come on, we're all going to have an encounter with the adversary of our soul. But I need to encourage you today, whatever that looks like, stay with the group. Stay with the church. Stay connected to the body of Christ. You may be seated. Watch this now. Jude 1:18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, the enemy, I want to show you how the enemy works. The enemy tempted them with that which was sensual, that which was pleasing to their flesh, gave them an opportunity. A relationship, whatever it is, caused their hearts, their feelings to seek after it in order to bring pleasure into their life for a season of time. But they did not understand what was happening behind the scenes. For they just saw what they wanted to see. And they just saw the relationship that they wanted to have. And they just saw the fleshly pleasure that they wanted to participate in. But they did not realize that hell had put that thing in their path. And so they began to pursue after that which is sensual. And guess what? They separated themselves from the church. You've got to understand this today. The only way hell can get to us is if we're separated from the church. But he can't separate us. He doesn't have the power to separate us. So here's what he does. He puts the enticement out there. He puts the relationship out there. He puts the temptation out there to see if we will separate ourselves. Because the moment we separate ourselves is the moment he pounces and destroys. Somebody said amen. And that moment may look like temptation, and it may look like loss or tears or promotion or increase. It may look like a pink slip or a negative report or a doctor's visit that didn't go how you thought it was going to go. It may look like a new relationship or a new opportunity. It may look like failure in the life of somebody that you trusted and esteemed. It may look like sinners seemingly getting ahead while you feel like you're stuck in the same place. It may look like defeat. It may look like discouragement. It may look like great disappointment. The moment you come face to face with the lion who is out to steal your soul can look 1,000 different ways, but whatever you do in that moment, stay with the church. Stay. Stand still and see the salvation. Don't go anywhere. Don't throw in the towel. That's not the time to quit. That's not the time to bail. That's not the time to turn your back on your brothers and sisters of the Lord. Stay with the group. Stay with the group. Stay with the church. Stand to your feet. And here's why. Here's why. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Come on, Jesus. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I need somebody to see as I close that victory in that moment when you encounter the lion is absolutely available to you. But it is only available to those that are a part of the us. And when you're by yourself, there is no us. You're by yourself, there's just a me. But when you're connected to a brother or sister in the Lord, when you're connected to a local body of believers, when you're connected to the church, listen, and I'm not talking about, well, you know, I watch Christian programming on Sundays. Or I got friends that are Christian, so I don't necessarily need the local body of believers because, you know, I got this friend or that friend and we call on Saturday mornings and pray a little bit. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to be connected to the body of Christ. And when you are, you walk in the realm of victory. Victory. Because you can't do by yourself what we can do as a whole. One can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. Hallelujah. My Bible tells me in Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Let me tell you something. Where God is, hell can't do nothing. Did you hear me? I said, wherever God is, hell can't work, hell can't move, hell can't operate, hell can't accomplish what hell wants to accomplish in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, if I can get two or three together, that's where I'm going to be. So when I'm connected to the church, that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, hell can't touch me. Come on, somebody praise him in the house. Woo! Listen, I know I got to stop, but I'm coming against that lie. You know where that lie comes from? Where the church, they just want my money. That's all about the church. They just want my money. You know where that lie came from? That wasn't the thought of that person. They're just parroting what the enemy of their soul told them to say. They just want my money. I'm going to go to a local church and structured church and organized church. So ridiculous to me. People talking about, well, I just don't think that organized religion is what we should have. All right, do you want an organized workplace? This is ridiculous to me. Well, organized religion's not of God. Okay, so go to work tomorrow and just have everything be completely unorganized and see what you accomplish. Have everything unorganized at your house and see what that looks like after a few days. You don't think organization is wrong in any other form or fashion. It's just wrong in the church. You don't think that. The enemy's telling you to say that. And the reason why it's, organized religion and all they want is money. The reason why they're parroting all those things is because the enemy's feeding them this. Feeding them. Want to know why? Because he knows if I can use this or that or organized religion or money or whatever, if I can use that to separate them from the body, they will not be in two or three. And when they're not in two or three, God's not with them. And when God's not with them, I can devour them. Stay with the church. Stay. I'm closing it up. Stay with the church. I tell you another thing. Church isn't perfect. Stay with the church. I'll tell you another thing. Pastor's not perfect. Stay with the church. I'll tell you another thing. You're not perfect. So if we'll stay connected to you and your imperfections, why don't you go ahead and stay connected to us in our imperfections, and we'll just make a determination that we'll just all stay connected one to another and continue every day to try to be more like Jesus and continue every day to be the church that God called us to be. And some days we're going to get it right and some days we're going to get it wrong. But in the meantime, no matter what, I'm going to stay connected to the body of Christ. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise.